With WMUK News, I'm Sevilla Mann. The launch of the Kalamazoo Promise almost 16 years ago was, of course, a huge deal for Kalamazoo, but it also had a profound impact on the rest of the country, says senior researcher Michelle Miller Adams of the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research in Kalamazoo. Miller Adams says the promise helped to spark a nationwide movement to address the spiraling costs of higher education, a movement that's now full of potential, but also at risk for stumbling, as Miller Adams writes in her new book, The Path to Free College. She recently joined us for more discussion. Michelle Miller Adams, welcome.
Thank you so much, Sevilla. Happy to be back here.
Tell us about where we are with what you call the promise movement that grew out of the Kalamazoo Promise.
The Kalamazoo Promise was pivotal for sparking a movement across the country on the part of local communities and institutions to create a tuition-free path for college for at least some of their residents. Now, most of those programs are not as generous or as sweeping as the Kalamazoo Promise.
Is there a sort of a median or a general level around which they fall?
Most of these programs, all but a handful, are what are called last dollar programs. So if you are eligible for Pell Grants, you would apply those first, and then you would add your Promise Scholarship on top of that. That's a structure that makes these programs much more affordable to run, but of course it's not as much of a benefit for the students receiving these Promise programs.
Right, because I would imagine if you're having to put your Pell Grant toward tuition, then you don't have as much of it left to put toward room and board, which, after all, can be quite a chunk of the cost of going to college.
You're absolutely right. Living expenses can be much more than the cost of tuition for many post-secondary pathways. So this has certainly not resolved the college affordability issue.
The political conversation about free college or a much more affordable college has shifted also. And so I just want to ask if there's a link between the Promise movement and, say, Senator Bernie Sanders calling for a federally funded free college and then other Democratic candidates making similar calls.
That's a really interesting question. And I do trace this convergence of the national discussion around college affordability that was led most prominently by Senator Sanders and what is effectively a grassroots movement to create these local promise programs. And in the book, I talk about how those two movements, one kind of high level and the other more grassroots and bottom up, converged to really focus attention on the need for free college. I would say these were two really independent strands that then got woven together, beginning under the Obama administration, taking a bit of a break during the Trump years, and then resurfacing under President Biden's leadership.
If the goal is to make college free or very affordable, I find myself asking, why not just go with a top-down federal free college for all kind of program? I mean, doesn't that make more sense than a patchwork approach?
There are pros and cons to both. There are real challenges in creating a federal program, the most obvious of which is getting it passed and funded. There is
no small issue
right
in itself.
No small issue. And there is a proposal out there from the Biden administration. There are several bills in Congress. Their prospects are iffy. I don't know if this program will be passed or not. But even if you got over that political and that funding challenge, and it's a buy. I mean, it's a bargain, right? But even if you got over the political challenge, one of the problems or one of the hard parts of this is that our education system is not organized as a single national system. We have 50 different educational systems in the U.S., at least. And so coming up with a strategy that will help all states provide tuition-free college to their students is challenging. And what the president has proposed, what makes sense, is a federal-state partnership where states would have some skin in the game, would be operating the program, but the federal government would be paying for most of it. You can kind of think of it along the lines of, say, Medicaid expansion.
As a millennial, I've heard tales of these magical days when tuition at public universities was so affordable you could get a summer job scooping ice cream or something like that and pay for your tuition for the year.
Well, I am much older than a millennial, and I actually remember those days. So I grew up in California. I went to college in California in the 1970s when tuition at all public institutions throughout the state of California, including the University of California, was incredibly affordable. My tuition bill when I was in college was $238 a quarter. So you raise a really important point, which is that often free college is painted as a kind of like a radical new idea coming from the radical left. And it isn't that at all. What we're talking about is mechanisms that will help us return to a period when college was affordable for middle class and lower income families. This is something that the U.S. had for a very long time, and that's only changed really in the past several decades.
But again, I suppose the reason maybe we can't just step back in time is because politically restoring public university funding to where it was is a tall bargain. I'm missing my metaphors here, but
a tall order.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's true. And one of the things that we have seen with this promise movement is that attaching the opportunity for free college to individuals is politically making college free. It's a politically strong message, and it draws support across the political spectrum. Most of these local promise programs are, I would say, nonpartisan, apolitical. And if you look at the state movement, you will see states, red states, blue states, purple states, among those that have created tuition-free college pathways. So there's something politically appealing about free college. It's a little easier lift than restore state higher ed funding.
Are there lessons, particularly in regards to equity, that potential launchers of these programs should pay attention to?
Having a promise program that's easy to understand, easy to talk about, easy to access, that's going to be really important if you're trying to reach people who don't have that college knowledge in their community. I was really happy to talk to a young woman I know who had applied for the Michigan Reconnect program, which is the just introduced this year program for the state that sends adults without college degrees to community college tuition free. And she had done the application on her phone, and it had taken 5 minutes to do. And that really warmed my heart, because that's how it should be. I think it's also important to go back to something we mentioned earlier, to do your best to deliver new money to students, not just make them use their Pell Grants for these scholarships, because low-income students are then going to be left without the resources they need to support themselves while they are going to college.
Michelle Miller Adams, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
Michelle Miller Adams is a senior researcher with the Upjohn Institute for Employment Research, and she's the author of the new book, The Path to Free College. For WMUK, I'm Savilla Mann.